Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter.
I love this time of the week where we get to say, wrestle me, Mark.
I know. And do you know what? It's actually, we're recording this at the start of a week. It's a Monday. It's a nice thing to do on a Monday.
It is. Square it over the week. And it's done. And but it's still, it's annoying, actually, because it's my favourite show to do. I'm not, you know, I'm probably upset a few people. Probably upset a few pen pushes up in City Hall for that. But it's my favourite show because I get to watch wrestling. And it's a good curtain opener for the week. But I want some WrestleMania in the end of the week.
You know it. You know, I really enjoyed it because I was watching, I did my rewatch of WrestleMania 36 on Sunday night. And by the time I finished, it was only a couple of hours before Money in the Bank 2021
right,
kicked off live.
Yes, okay.
And what's exciting about that is it ties in with WrestleMania 36. So WrestleMania 36 is the start of the COVID era.
Yes.
It's the start of the closed set big shows. And Money in the Bank last night was the end. So yes, they've returned in front of the crowds. And so, you know,
everyone very close. Everyone very close.
I mean, it was insane, Pete. I mean, it was absolutely insane. Watching the wrestlers slap everyone's hands and no one, you know, there were some masks. There weren't zero masks.
Yeah.
There were, in what is probably, 60,000 stadium, I would say there were between 100 and 112.
It's not going to affect anything. If you look around and no one, what's the point? Yeah. What is the point?
Exactly. And I did watch that and I did sort of go, it's quite different to how it is in England, where people are like, I am not, you know, convinced about this. And like with the Euros, you know, it wasn't a complete sellout. And even if it had been, that was outside.
Yeah.
Watching this huge, big bubble.
Yeah.
All it takes is two people in there, innit?
Yeah.
On either side.
I don't know what the WWE kind of COVID, because it wouldn't have been tested.
They don't believe in it.
Yes,
they do not believe it happens.
That's true.
Worth saying, this WrestleMania, they did make the decision quite early on that they would never refer to the words COVID or pandemic.
Yes.
I'm not sure the word COVID exists within WWE
continuity. They really sort of tramped around it. They didn't at any point use that word COVID.
No.
And it was quite quaint to sort of see them talking with the language sort of saying, we'll be back in a few months. We're back in a couple of months.
Exactly.
It was quite cute, really, quite quaint.
It was very touch and go about this WrestleMania, how it would take place.
Yeah.
So until 2 weeks before, it looked like it was still going ahead. Now, this is, I think, the WrestleMania that we were going to go to.
Right,
so
yes,
that would have been the first one after we'd launched our Patreon.
True,
where we were we're going there.
Yeah.
And we were close to booking those tickets.
Yeah, to go to Florida.
We were, I think, 3 days off, and you got the slight hump with me dragging my feet over it.
Oh, no, I was just going, let's do it.
I say the slight hump, you got the right hump. you were like, I just think we're going to go. We're going to go.
It was on the company, Mark. I do not. I get time off. It's on the company. There are very few.
You said to me, well, if you know, I mean, I get you don't want to go, but I mean, you know, I might just go with one of the guys. you were like, I was like, oh, so glad when the pandemic hit.
Oh, no, I would have went. I probably would have gone anywhere because I was just like, this is perfect.
Yeah,
but it was less than perfect. Sorry if I was.
No, not at all. No, I'm really over egging it for comic effect. But there is a nugget of truth. So before we go any further, we probably should mention that we have a live show taking place. Having just talked about how nightmarish it is, the idea of it, it is taking place outside, but we've had a roof put over the top in King's Place as part of the London Podcast Festival.
Yes.
That will be happening, I believe, on the 4th of September, which is a Saturday. I don't think tickets are on sale yet, but when they are, we'll let you know through the social media channels. But it's gonna be a happening. If nothing
it's
else,
gonna be a happening.
It's gonna be a
it's what the
happening.
World has come to.
It is what the
and
world
we'll,
has
we'll
come
be
to.
Safe as we possibly can. It's all it's yeah. gonna be COVID compliant.
Exactly.
The
I mean,
fullest
I
extent mean, of the weird rules.
I mean, I really do gloss over when they start talking about stuff like that. I mean, so I mean, if they are doing that, great. But if they aren't, I genuinely don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna come out and do like a you know the green mist. It's gonna be. It's going to be alcohol spray.
It is. I mean, it would be good to say, you know, look, we just, let's get this out of the way. We are going to green mist everyone as you come in. Is it alcohol spray? Some of it will be.
Yes.
One in every 50 will be COVID.
Spit. Just spit.
Just for fun. And it's worth saying as well, of course, part of the live show is very easy. If you have a load of merchandise that you want to go and it's too expensive to post, a wonderful time to drop it off. Follow the example, for example, of Ross Pollard, who was he's preparing to move house.
Right.
And he decided, you know what? I'm going to listen to Mark's frequent call
to be donated wrestling
merch of any quality.
Anything. A
any
bin with the word era. Vince written on the side of it. a banana that, you know, looks a bit like Hulk Hogan's moustache.
That's
anything
all
like that. That's all bananas.
All bananas.
All bananas.
But thank you very much to Ross. It's like Christmas. It's so much fun for me. For Ross, very little in return. But I thank him greatly.
An old palette with the word luchador written on it with a Sharpie.
Just a piece of A4 with wrestling is gay written on it. I'll have it. It goes into the museum and then sealed away. I've been absolutely loving watching WWE's, I think it's called Hidden Treasures. Mm. And it's them trying to collect all of wrestling memorabilia through the years to basically install it in a warehouse that no one's allowed in. And they go around and they'll sort of say to the Undertaker, will you give us the best thing in your collection? And he'll sort of go, oh, I don't know. No, God,
yeah,
no.
Kinda,
they did one with Jerry Lawler. They were like, can we have your can we have the your robe and your crown that you wore for your WWE debut? And he's like, not really sure.
So it's everyone's second best thing?
No, because the whole show is basically putting so much pressure on them until they unwillingly agree.
On television to do
give it away,
right,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so Jerry Lawler found himself in this warehouse with a big young wrestler and the archivist with him going, you've got to give us an answer, King. Come on, let's do it. Do it for the fans, Jerry. And Jimmy Hart was there and obviously been like briefed by the WWE and he's going, I mean, the fans put us where we were, Jerry. You know, you've got to give something back to them. And Lawler ends up going,
and if you don't, this big boy's going to hit you.
Yeah. He ends up going, okay. Some of them give it up immediately and they're just like, you know what, you can have it, it's wonderful. Lawler held out for money.
Really?
Yeah, he got 10 grand
as
and he
well
still
he
did
might.
It really sort of like, you know, unwillingly. There's a famous bit where Sonny Siaki, who was a, Sonny Ono, who was a friend of Eric Bischoff and worked in WCW. He owns the Giant Machines mask that Andre the Giant wore when he was a masked wrestler called Giant Machine.
Right.
Part of the early 80s WWF tag team and Japan tag team called the Machines. Mm. And the big joke was they would have Giant Machine and Hulk Machine. Who could these masked men be? You know, they're fun. But they have a section on that where basically Sonny Ono says, do you know what, I can't let it go. I bought it and I love it and it's such an important thing. And there's a bit where they basically have the host of it looking at the camera and just going, it's nothing to do with him. He shouldn't have it. He doesn't need it.
So it's just a way of like WWE liberating like merch from like legendary bits of stuff from there, right?
Absolutely. Now sometimes they're paying, sometimes they're not. They got the neck brace that Andy Kaufman wore, which does not look like it's genuine because it's much too clean. But it came from the wrestling journalist Bill Apter. And he's like, you know what? It's given so much pleasure to people over the years. I would be honoured for you to have it. And they're like, oh, great, because we put a value of like $8,000 on that. But that's free. Cheers, Apter. It's a really, really uncomfortable programme. The other thing is they have so much memorabilia of their own, you know, which they don't show. And they aren't going to open up a physical Hall of Fame or museum because they've made it clear that they are money losers and there's no point in doing it. So they're just collecting up all this delightful merch. You know, as I say, the only way that we can beat this is by allowing me to have more.
Yes.
More merch than
give
the WWE.
Give the merch to Mark.
Exactly.
Give the merch to Mark.
give the merch to Mark.
There we go.
Excellent time to turn up would be September the 4th yes. at 7 p.m.
Yes, with merch for Mark.
And we will have ticket information on that at a later date. I don't think it's on sale yet, so, you know, don't go fucking crazy.
Don't go crazy. Settle down. Settle down. Calm it down, you idiots.
Oh, well, Pete, here we go. It's WrestleMania 36, Night 1.
Mm.
Took place on my birthday, the 5th of April, 2021.
Mm.
It's always been a great thing for me because it's always like, one birthday in every about 6 or 7.
You'll get a WrestleMania.
Get a WrestleMania.
Nice.
And it's like, oh, I've got that to look forward to.
Well, this time you got half of one.
I did. And do you know what? Not a terrible WrestleMania.
No. I've not watched Day 2 yet.
No.
But, yeah, enjoyable.
Not as good.
Not as good. But you sort of look at it and you sort of go, everything, I think they understood quite well the limitations of what they were having to achieve.
Yeah.
And they made the matches shorter, and this is how long the matches should be.
Yeah, and this was watchable, because it's, I think, just under 3 hours.
Mm.
And what's unusual is that actually between the two shows, this was the longest pay-per-view that WWF had ever produced.
Right.
But by splitting it in two, you go, oh.
Perfectly manageable.
Nice and manageable.
Yeah.
So the show was originally scheduled to take place at the Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida, and they had to move it to the WWE Performance Center in Orlando. And that was because of the growing pandemic. All WWE TV shows had taken place at the Performance Center since mid-March.
Right.
The two WrestleManias went out on the 4th and the 5th of April. They split it into two, the two-night format that really had been innovated by New Japan.
Mm.
And they, in January, had their Wrestle Kingdom shows, and they decided to do two nights. Part of the reason for that, and the WWE would have cottoned onto this immediately, those big shows, Wrestle Kingdom and WrestleMania, you get people travelling internationally to come and see them.
Mm.
And so you realise that if people are staying somewhere, you're not going to come in for one night and fly out the next morning. So by putting them over two nights, they've sort of gone, okay, we can get two bites of the cherry.
Yeah.
So rather than seeing one 5.5-hour WrestleMania, they can see 2 3-hour ones. And we get money. To charge double. That's the way, you know, it's a really basic thing. I mean, it unsettles me slightly because there is that thing of, you know, you will, there's going to come a point where you're sort of going, oh, I want to see something else.
Mm.
And you're going to miss out on one of the nights that has got someone good on. They're not going to put everyone good on one night.
Of course they're not.
I'm a businessman. I know how this would work.
Is there kind of like weekend tickets you buy like so you can't... I don't know.
I think it's always been singly because things like obviously NXT TakeOver and that's shown that they can sell out two nights in the same place on the trot. And so now you're going to be seeing three nights on the trot.
Right.
What's good about that, of course, is because you will be keeping those international fans there in one place. You're going to have, like you have done with WrestleMania, you're going to be having a lot more sort of independent shows all forming around those.
Mm.
That, for me, is thrilling. The idea of going, let's go on holiday for 5 days and do nothing but see wrestling. I mean, that is 100% what I'm into. Well done, everyone. This was the only WrestleMania, Pete, that did not happen live. So the matches were all pre-recorded between the 25th of March and 26th of March, between 10 p.m. at night and 6 a.m. in the morning. So they are all wrestling at like 3 a.m.
3 a.m., 4 a.m.
when you watch this, yeah.
Why do they do that then?
They wanted it to be a proper closed set. They were terrified the results of a WrestleMania
would sneak out,
yeah. And so it was a really sort of, I suppose it was helped in a way by the idea that no one should have been out of their houses really at this point.
Yes.
So people weren't knocking about.
Yeah.
But there is something funny about that where you sort of go, it is funny during the middle of this pandemic and everything, they were like, we mustn't let the results leak. You know, and it just seems like...
Forgetting that's the least important thing about wrestling.
Yeah, isn't it? It seemed a strange one. What this sets, though, is a couple of huge records. One of them, it is the most viewed event in WWE history. They had over 967 million views across both nights. And social media platforms.
A little bit of like inquisitiveness, sort of like, what's this going to look like?
I think so. And I think there was a lot of fans who were like, I wonder how they're going to cope.
Yes.
People who have been slightly out, you know, coming back in.
Yeah.
And it also has the only non-disputed attendance record in WrestleMania history. It set an all-time attendance record of zero fans. It's a strange one. I mean, what the Zero Fans thing does is you do see how it affects the product, and that is fascinating in itself. WWE produced shirts. They'd always had sort of like WrestleMania I Was There shirts, and they produced a whole series that were just WrestleMania I Wasn't There shirts.
Right.
I mean, you know, yes, a pandemic is terrible and everything, but there are always ways to make more merch.
Yeah.
That's think of it as another opportunity to spin some merch.
Send Marky merch.
Yeah. The card itself, they struggled with, and they were struggling really pre-pandemic. They had entered a period where they found it very, very difficult to actually build compelling storylines.
Mm.
And that you can see in this WrestleMania. Things were thrown together at the last minute. There was no sense of a build. But what they also did was they lost some key people. And that was directly related to the pandemic.
Right.
The big match was supposed to be Roman Reigns versus Goldberg. And Roman Reigns, who had problems with his immune system relating to his
cancer
diagnosis, he had said, "I am not happy about performing." Mm. And so he had pulled out.
Because at that point, would there even have been a testing program?
I don't know,
that you could actually, as a business, bring in.
Yeah, and what there was very much at the time, the other person who pulls out and changes a match on here is The Miz. And he pulled out for illness. Whether he had COVID or not is unknown and not particularly important. But what both Reigns and Miz had were young families.
Mm.
And there was a sense at this time that we don't know what this is going to do. And the last thing you want to do is give this to kids.
Mm.
What we didn't realise, you know, and Jesus Christ, I mean, you know, someone listening to this in 5 years' time might go, he thought the kids didn't get, you know, well, explain why they've got all those big blue bones coming out of their hands like Wolverines.
The big blue bone boys.
They obviously thought this could be a dangerous thing to catch with my young family. And so that was also the reason why they were like, we are staying well away.
This is sure business, not sure business.
What it says, of course, is this was a period where nobody really understood what this was.
Yeah.
And everything is just
it's
in flux.
It's very interesting to see.
It really is. Again, we talked about this on a previous podcast, but wrestling is one of the few things that actually takes place every single week. And so when big events happen, they're recorded forever. It's also one of the few things you can go back and watch. You know, where would you, I mean, obviously YouTube, but, you know, you don't have a sort of a sense of like where 9/11 happened, what was on telly at the time.
Mm.
And WWE, you can go back and watch what went out, you know, within days of 9/11. It's the same with the COVID. There is going to be a wrestling fan who is, you know, young or not born yet, who one day is going to go back and watch this, and just this weird 18-month period where they'll just go, why aren't there any fucking fans there? You know, what's going on? Why aren't they talking about it? What's going on? It's going to be a sort of, it's just going to be weird.
Mm.
What you also see, which I'm fascinated with, is how the wrestlers haven't yet adapted to performing in front of no one.
Mm.
And so you get some weird excesses of the pandemic empty era, sort of era. One is a slight sense of embarrassment that it's quiet.
Yeah.
And they make noise and then they feel self-conscious. There are other ones where they are hammy.
Mm.
And they're hammy because they don't have an audience to gauge whether what they're doing is right or getting a reaction. And there's loads of people over-egging stuff and slightly directionless with no one to sort of go, calm it down, you know, or any way to communicate through the ref is the other thing. Having to do all that, suddenly you can't just talk to your opponent, you know, because it will be picked up.
Mm.
It's a really strange one. And they lose all sense about the flow of a match. They don't know whether the crowd are behind it, how it's building, you know, whether what they're doing is getting over. They're just in limbo.
Yeah.
You really see it in this WrestleMania. There are a load of matches where people early on in their matches sort of they hear the commentators go, "Oh, incredible move." And they'll look over. And for the rest of the match, they're slightly just performing for the commentators.
Yeah.
They're just looking for some way to cling on in this world where, you know, all of the pointers that you used to get have just fallen away.
Mm.
It's fascinating. Yeah. It's so, so bizarre. The WrestleMania Battle Royals that they traditionally have, they dropped both of them this year. They didn't really want 30 people all in one ring and things like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was probably a bad idea. But there were a lot of changes. Triple H said that because numerous people have fallen out, obviously, you know, card subject to change, He said, the lines they say that you sort of go a bit weird. He said, nothing will be held against any wrestlers who missed the event.
You're sort of like, the subtext being, everything will be held against them.
Absolutely that. He also stated all of the talent competing were there in a voluntary capacity. Having to constantly say that. It was the first time since WrestleMania 23 in 2007 that Triple H didn't compete on the WrestleMania card.
If he can't have half an hour, he's not willing to do it.
he had basically said, oh, it's already been planned before the pandemic. I wasn't going to do it. But there are people who, like your Hulk Hogan's, they were, you know, I think they were very aware about what is good for them. Mm. And the reality is, what is the point in not performing in front of a crowd? You know, you might as well wait until the crowds are back.
Yeah.
And then you go, now I'll do it. And you know, I think a lot of people found it very difficult performing in the empty arena thing.
Yeah.
But there is a thing about what is the point in coming back to do this in just like a gym, you know, on your own, looking like an absolute moron.
Especially if that's going to be your big return as well.
Completely.
Why ruin that?
Completely. I had a quick look before I started into this. I went back and looked at the pay-per-view the month before, which was Elimination Chamber. And seeing that full arena, it's the difference in a month is just incredible. I mean, it really is. The bit that I saw, I was just watching the main event, which was the women's Elimination Chamber match. Great line. I loved it. It's when it's International Women's Day. They said, you know, look at this. What a way to celebrate. I thought, locking six women in a Elimination Chamber, making them fight until one is left. Not great. This was the first of the big empty arena shows, as I said, you know, the previous month had been in front of fans. And at this point, they had no idea that they were going to be doing this for 18 months. You know, they thought they would definitely be back in time for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
They thought this was just a blip. And wouldn't it be a fun little curio? And it turned out, of course, it would go on and on and on. The following year's WrestleMania would have 25,000 people, you know, all spread about. But it is the first of what would become 18 months. It's just absolutely incredible to watch. This is the ground zero of that. In a weird way, to get this out of the way, you know, if they could do it at WrestleMania, they could do it
anyway, yeah.
And they were lucky insofar as this wasn't like the fourth empty arena show that they had to put on. They were lucky that it was the first, and there was a lot of goodwill about how they would come and do it. Yeah.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Join me, Jaguar, the host of BBC Introducing Dance on Radio 1 for my brand new podcast, Utopia Talks. It's a reactive platform to discuss issues that my generation care about in dance music culture and the wider world. I'll be talking to some of the biggest names in dance music, including people like Heidi,
The lineups do not need to be 99% male-driven. Mm. There's all these interesting new producers and women that are coming through, you know, all sorts. Yeah. It's like women are speaking out now.
And the sensational Bless Madonna.
I feel like literally my entire life has led up to this. This is the first event we've had like this, not just in the UK, but really in the Western Hemisphere. And to be able to be here with all of these people who are so happy is just absolutely the biggest, highest joy of my life.
As well as having the meaty conversations I often have with friends that I'd love you to join in with.
There's so much new energy coming out of the pandemic, and there's so many like new nights and festivals, yeah, yeah. And everyone's really pushing for this new structure where people genuinely don't feel anxious mm-hmm. about coming to a club night because of the way they look or the way they dress. It's more about everyone in.
To me, Utopia is a perfect moment. It's togetherness. It's the future. I want to live in a more inclusive, equal world, and I hope this podcast will build a community and help create change. Subscribe now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. New episodes dropping every Wednesday. Welcome to Utopia Talks.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
It opens up with Stephanie. She said, though, there won't be 80,000 screaming fans due to current circumstances.
It's always current circumstances, isn't it? They never mention it.
Don't say its name. No sell the virus. You don't say its name. She called it the most different WrestleMania of all. Again, different. You see, it's not negative. Not saying, you know, the most unfortunate WrestleMania of all sort of well worked out. And she says, somehow, some way, we'll provide you with a diversion during these hard times. Deliver a sense of hope, determination and perseverance.
Perfect.
And most of all, to entertain you and your family.
Yeah.
My family would not want to watch WrestleMania. Actually, I don't think there are many families who watch WrestleMania. But
you look into your beautiful daughter's face and she's just going, gronk.
I put a little bit of wrestling on the other day and she did stay for it. It does have an effect. An immediate effect.
immediate effect.
She is quite rough. it's a funny one that they have Stephanie doing the opener.
Mm.
Traditionally, that would have been Vince.
Yes.
But I think there's a thing about Vince doesn't like to be talking about illness or misfortune.
Yeah.
When they did the first SmackDown back last week, Vince opened up the show.
Yeah.
And when his music hit, I mean, it was thrilling. A proper great pop, a huge pop. Out he comes, looking more and more like Liberace. Strange thing. But he's doing his walk, you know. Hard to tell now if he means to. But out he comes, and he just got on the mic and he just went, "Where the hell have you all been?" And then he walked back. That was it.
That's it.
A great Vince moment. You know, people are saying the single greatest speech in the history of humanity. But it was a nice thing. There is something funny about the way we cheer when Vince talks to us like he talks to his employees.
Yes.
There is something funny about Vince is like the boss of the fans. It's so sort of charming. But you can see that he is not going to be the face of capitulation, of compromise, or of illness. That is not what Vince does.
He does, no.
They have a little greatest hits of the celebrities who have sung the national anthem at WrestleMania over the year.
Mm.
John Legend, Aretha Franklin, Boys to Men, Ray Charles, Gladys Knight. No Rockin' Robin.
No, she's never included, bless her.
This is one of those things where you go, do you know what we should do? We should put together all the big stars singing it. Mm. And it'll be like a great big celebrity medley one.
Because we literally cannot book anyone.
We can't book anyone. I mean, what would have, if you'd have been maybe further down the COVID road, you'd have been like, do you know what would be funny is to get a celebrity to do it on Zoom in front of their swimming pool, like they all fucking do. It is funny how celebrities have got a blind spot where they don't go, do you know when I do this? Let's angle it in the garden so you don't see everything. You know, let's do it so it's like I'm normal. But no, they do it and you've got like, I can see nine stone lions. What they obviously sort of go is, we will have a beautiful, great, big, huge celebrity choir doing essentially the national anthem. Everyone sings it. So madly differently. Yes. That it's really jarring. It's really, really horrible. What does become clear is the best over the years were Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
They are leagues ahead.
They were quite early on, obviously.
Two and three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I think Aretha, did she not come back? I think she may have
yes,
done
I think she might
a
have,
later
yeah.
one as well. 20 or something like that. Mm. Much later than you'd imagine, where she turned up in a very big fur coat.
Yes.
Looked great. Everyone else that they've had over the years, I mean, largely diabolical. when they cut to Willie Nelson doing it, I mean, he's just going, he's trying his best, but it's just, it's like a toolbox falling downstairs. It really is.
But at least, like, it kind of oscillates between Willie Nelson's bit of a stunt kind of performance, and you sort of go, right, and then the next one will just be some R&B star you never hear of again.
Yeah. Yeah,
but she'll or he will inexplicably be the most successful gospel singer
huge,
of all time.
Huge. They have almost Gladys Knight comes on at the end and she does a really, really good version. And she's wearing as I picture it, I think she's wearing a jumper that looks like one that Miss Elizabeth would wear at Randy Savage's sort of retirement match.
Yes,
I think she had a similar jumper. And I did look at her and I did sort of think, wow, they could have got together as a tag team, a sort of like. Ebony and Ivory, the Ebony and Ivory Elizabeths. I'd be very keen to see that as a two-pack of figures. The credits kick in next, and they are a weird fucking note in this.
Mm.
They kept the credits that they would have done had this gone ahead without any problems. It's got the pirate theme going on. It was going to be Pirate WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So it's taking place in the stadium that is owned by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So they use the Buccaneers logo, and the idea was
right. It's
Pirate WrestleMania. So they have this awful voiceover that is, it's supposed to be Jack Sparrow.
But it doesn't
sound like
in...
Rufus Hound. It sounds so much like Rufus Hound that if Rufus went, oh, I know Rufus is a fan of wrestling. If Rufus was like, oh, yeah, it's a great job I got, I'd be like, brilliant, well done, Rufus. You know, I knew it was you. You did not have a hand in that script, did you? And he'd go, no, it's fucking terrible. It's an attempt to be clever and hip, this.
Yeah.
Where they're going, it's that Jack Sparrow fourth wall thing, undercutting what they're seeing.
Yeah.
But they don't have Hollywood comedy line writers.
No.
And they've obviously... It's been explained a few times, but very quickly it runs away from them.
Jack Sparrow, the voiceover, it's not accurate enough. I don't see Jack Sparrow as being this clever, intelligent. He's a drunkard, isn't he? He's a drunken kind of like naughty pirate, isn't he? And he's lovable. He's not like sardonic.
Some of the lines are just put in a obligatory proverb that's both foreboding and extremely obvious. Movie voiceover man, take it away.
It may as well be the Cultaholic review of.
It sounds like when you hear local radio adverts. When it's someone trying, hello, this is Jack Sparrow. And when I'm looking for a new vehicle in Honiton, I go to Andrew Duxford. That sort of thing. Take it away, Mr. Dux, or whatever it would be. I mean, I know what you're thinking. Pirate ship, pedestrian Jack Sparrow impression, yo-ho-ho. Well, it's not that simple. And it's just shut up. Why?
This is already difficult enough to figure out what's going to be happening.
What's this got to do with the wrestling? What's all this to and fro between the movie voiceover man and a man going, well, I know you're watching this and saying it's a bit hackneyed, but it's not actually hackneyed. Show me fucking Roman Reigns. It cuts to a bit where they have these brilliantly filmed pirate bits where you've got Roman Reigns attacking a kraken, you know, a sea creature, and Becky Lynch in the surf, you know, waving an axe. And they look phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And then they sort of like make it look weird. So suddenly it's gone wrong and Seth Rollins is on a beach and there's a horse running alongside him and there's a UFO landing next to Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And Kofi Kingston doing a jig in like a photograph of the Irish potato famine. Just, you know, and the guy's going, oh, well, this is the sort of thing that, what the fuck is going on? What's happening? It's like a corporate video that's like, run out of money and they've just sort of gone, it doesn't make any sense.
Just get it out.
We gave Gary £2,500 and I know for a fact £1,000 of it he spent on cocaine. I've just done a pig farm and there's do the dance, the UFO. It's so, so mental. The bits that are there, you know, if they've just streamlined it and just gone, it's pirates, deep blue sea, here's the treasure at the end, it's the WrestleMania logo.
Mm.
Instead, they're like, here's the treasure at the end, it's the WWE logo made out of rock on a rocky outcrop. Guys!
Just get into
it. It's so easy to just bring this together with going, pirates, treasure, WrestleMania, biggest prize of them all. Yeah. Oh, it's so easy. Look how quickly that was done. Shit. Make it part of the rocky headland. And that is the thing that they are guided towards, but are interrupted by... You're overthinking it. It did slightly make me go, you know, if you do like Pirates of the Caribbean, I was like, I would sort of love to see a James Bond WrestleMania opening.
Mm.
I'd like them to do London WrestleMania and just have it. Or Mr. Bean opening. I don't mind one of the two. That would be ace. Just when you sort of go, okay, I'm quite excited about this.
Yeah.
I've got through the bad bits of this credit sequence. Mm-hmm. Now we're in the good bits. Here's your host, Pete. Here's your host, Gronk.
He's a man that looks like a Rohypnol tablet in a glass of Prosecco. Yes. He just looks like problems.
The footballer that you meet, it's his mate who got injured and didn't have a career.
Yes.
In the nightclub that you go, I think he's got an issue with me. Yeah.
Stay away from him.
I don't know
him.
What it is, but he bridled when I came up and now he won't stop looking at me. Exactly that. Here he is in his ski goggle sunglasses and his blue tiger top.
Yeah.
And he's boasting about, you know, they crack open a beverage, he says, because they can't say a bottle of beer because of, you know, Saudi Arabia and the Mormon states. Crack open a beverage. Hey, beverage me up. Hey, Beverinos. Fucking hell. Forget everything that's going on in the world now, he says as well. Not useful. Not useful.
And then, I never knew what was going on anyway.
I don't know anything. Ask me if I've heard of World War II. No. What? Read a book, doofus. You kind of go, well, this is as bad as it gets. Mm. In comes Mojo Rawley.
Yes.
A Gronk, one of his close friends in real life. They are in to yell over each other and to slap each other and to bump up against each other.
I've got a big bottle of vodka and a big bowl. Man.
Sorry, did you say you want to kiss me? No. Sorry, I said you. No, it's so embarrassing, bro. No. Did you say you want to kiss me? No? Okay. No, I'm joking. Of course
off
I'm joking.
Off the table. Cousins off the table.
Of course I'm joking.
What am I?
Man, Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? I mean, that's what people would say. You know, whatever. Are you looking at me? Are you looking angry or are you looking happy? I can't tell. They do a lot of nodding as well. And the nodding is like, it erases the feeling of self-doubt, isn't it?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's like, everything's fine.
Is this the way I live a life? Yeah, nod it out. Oh, yeah. Awful. Just self-affirmation that they have to give themselves so they don't burst into tears. There is a very fragile sort of forced jollity in this whole show. Where everyone's nervous about saying the wrong thing, and they're all trying to kind of go, ha, 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 and it's a bit hysterical. They're sort of, no, we're having a great time. You know, a bit sort of Titanic-y, the whole thing.
Yeah.
The commentators are very much trying to sort of go, you know, we're having a great time, you know, we're here.
Gronk's here?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
We're gonna really have some great times tonight.
I hear he's got one of those funnels that you can put in a tube.
I am not
beer.
Here on my own free will. Don't believe them. We have our very, very first match. Well, it's not actually the very first match. There's a pre-show.
It's a pre-show,
Cesaro beats Drew Gulak.
Oh, I mean, it's a surprise Cesaro's made the match. Good,
no, amazing, huh? They do actually, and we'll get to that, but I mean, there's a perfect example of three of the most talented people on the roster. They've stuck them together because they're basically like, we know you guys are good, it's just we cannot think what to do with you. It's New Day syndrome.
Yeah.
You guys are good. You're going to be a team now. You're united by the fact that you're good and we have no plans. The first match is WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, the Kabuki Warriors, Kairi Sane and Asuka versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
I like that Cross has got a cool hat.
Yep.
And she's got the belt around her neck.
Yep.
She just wears it like a choker.
This is Kairi Sane. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. She has nothing to do with Kabuki, by the way. I mean, right. Asuka has got the Kabuki mask.
Yes.
Kairi Sane doesn't.
She's got a hat, though.
She has a great hat.
Classic pirate hat.
I mean, you could almost say, she is a classic pirate. I mean, you almost say, with this being the pirate-themed WrestleMania, someone would mention that at some fucking point. But they don't.
No, they don't.
They don't mention
that
she's a fucking pirate.
Yeah.
It just boggles mind.
Can I bring my pirate hat, that one that I'm known for? And they're like, no, well, yeah, if you have to.
I mean, just be aware this is a pirate WrestleMania, so it might not be appropriate. How could it be more fucking on the money? And no one goes, oh, opening up WrestleMania, it's our own original pirate. It's Kairi Sane. Not a word of it. No. Here comes Asuka, her partner, Kairi Sane. They're both good. Not going to fucking mention it. Jesus Christ. What I did find really interesting about this is three quarters of the competitors in this are not from America. Mm. So you have two Japanese women on one team, and you have Nikki Cross, who is from Scotland.
Right.
And I like the fact that we've now got so used to this, it's not even mentioned.
No.
That sense of the WWE becoming a worldwide company, I actually find really enjoyable. I like that. And I like the fact that we don't have to get bogged down in going, show me your papers. Where are they from? We will list where they're from.
I mean, two of them are called the Kabuki Warriors, though. I guess.
Yeah.
That's implicit.
Asuka and Kairi, yeah. they are probably not going to be from Minneapolis.
The Gronk doesn't know what Kabuki is, right?
Oh, man, that's like two China dolls.
I thought it was going on.
I go to a club called China Dolls.
I bet you do. I bet you fucking do. The good thing, before we leave him behind, actually, I had a look at this and I was like, I was watching this match and I thought, is there anyone actually who only got to do this WrestleMania and no others?
Oh, right, yeah.
Because Kairi Sane has since left WWE. And I was like, oh my God, you know, is this her only WrestleMania? She went to WrestleMania and it was in front of no one and then she'll never get to do it again.
Yeah.
Well, she'd done the year before. And I was looking down and I was going, is there anyone who only got to do this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's Gronk, basically. It's Gronk. So Gronk did take part in an earlier WrestleMania, but it was a celebrity cameo where he was in a battle royal and he knocks everyone out, so Mojo Rawley wins. Mm. So he does know what the pop is. Mm. But as a signed WWE performer, he'd been signed to a contract. This is his WrestleMania that he did.
Right.
And then he basically retired from the NFL. He had a clause in his contract saying if anyone came calling, he could just leave the contract.
Mm.
That's exactly what happened. I think it was actually the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came and said, would you like to have another go? And he went, yes! And so the contract was signed up. He wrestled a grand total of zero matches in front of zero fans. He won the 24/7 belt off R-Truth a couple of times, had to then lose it back to him.
Yeah.
But he had a career where he wrestled in front of no one. And this is his only contracted WWE performer WrestleMania. He was lined up to do SummerSlam, but he left before that. And right. I, for one, could not be fucking happier. Absolutely could not be
happier.
He's
back with the Buccaneers. One-year deal. $10 million.
There you go. $10 million. $10 million.
Lordy.
I mean, you know, he's out. Good. I'm so glad they were able to find that money, because we would have been watching a year of empty arena matches with Gronk quite high up in the card. And they wouldn't have got rid of Mojo Rawley.
No.
And it would just be two guys just looking at each other across the ring, slapping each other on the bum, and the yearning in their pelvises for each other that they refuse to acknowledge. Man, just hopped up on white wine and man lust.
Oh, dear. Well, that was our first taste of the first day.
Yeah, we managed to do part of one match.
Yeah, the Gronkles.
I'm pleased with that.
Interesting, the Gronkles.
The reality is, you're running out of chances to hear
this show.
I mean, look at this, penultimate WrestleMania. What a relief.
It's nice and short.
Until next time, Peter, wrestle me!
Wrestle me!
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.